Brothers and sisters, I always find it very difficult to speak after the Lord's table, because to me, I feel the Lord's table is the climax of our gathering. We have been brought to His very presence. And what more do we want? If we will continue in His presence, that is the best of life. None can be better. So, dear brothers and sisters, thank God we have all been brought into His very presence. And may we continue to stay there until we see Him face to face. But I have to obey my brethren. Will you please turn the last book of the Bible, Revelation? Revelation chapter 2, verse 7. Revelation chapter 2. Verse 7. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the assemblies. To him that overcomes, I will give to him to eat of the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. To him that overcomes. This is repeated 7 times. In the second and third chapters of the book of Revelation. At the end of the Lord's writing to his churches in Asia, he ends up every letter with this call, he that overcomes. May we have a word of prayer. Dear Lord, thank you for having brought us into your very presence. Now, Lord, what is it that thou desire to speak to our hearts? We are all here in thy presence. Speak, Lord, thy servants hear it. In thy name, amen. The last call of the Bible, the last call of God to the church is the call to overcome. So in Revelation chapters 2 and 3, in the Lord's letter to the 7 churches in Asia, at the end of the first century, the call to overcome is the call to all. So, brothers and sisters, this is no difference from us today. What is the Lord's last call of the Lord to His church today? We are living in the 21st century, the beginning of it. But the call to overcome is the same call. The last call of God to His church. Our Lord Jesus is the overcomer. He came into this world. He lived for 33 and a half years on this earth. He went through all the problems that any human being could ever have. But He has overcome. He lived a life of overcoming. Overcoming Satan. Overcoming sin. Overcoming the world. Even overcoming Himself. Now He is seated at the right hand of His Father, as the overcomer. But thank God, His overcoming is our overcoming. So He calls every one of us who have believed in Him to overcome. As long as He leaves us in this world, we are to be overcomers. We are to be those who not only overcome sin, but even Satan, the origin of sin. As God's people, brothers and sisters, the call of God to every one of us is to overcome, as He has overcome. It is true, we are living in a very difficult time. Satan is still in rule of this wretched world. But thank God, our Lord Jesus has come. He has overcome. He is now seated at the right hand of God. But He gives His overcoming life to everyone who believes in Him. So, dear brothers and sisters, we are all supposed to be overcomers, not to be overcome. However difficult it may be, our circumstances, wherever we have been put in this world, brothers and sisters, we are all called to be overcomers for the glory of God. We are not supposed to be overcome by the environments around us. We are not supposed to be overcome by the world. We are not supposed to be overcome by sin. We are not supposed to be overcome by the enemy of God. We are destined to be overcomers for the glory of God. So, brothers and sisters, let us all ask ourselves a question. Am I an overcomer? Or was I being overcome? The world is not better than before. I will say even it is worse. Satan's power on this earth has not been diminished. I will say probably it will be at its uttermost, because he knows that his days are numbered. But thank God, we are called to be overcomers. So I would like us to look into our own selves. And in the presence of God, ask ourselves this question. Am I an overcomer? Or have I been overcome by the circumstances around me? By the power of the God of this world? Who am I? How do I live all my days? Do I overcome whatever may happen to me? Or am I a defeated person? It is true that by ourselves we will not be able to overcome. Since the fall of man, man had been overcome by the enemy of God. But thank God, he has sent his beloved Son into this world, who lived for 33 and a half years upon this earth. He went through all kinds of temptations and sufferings and confrontations, but he lived a perfect life. He said, I can do nothing by myself. I cannot see anything by myself. I cannot go anywhere by myself. I do all things according to the will of my Heavenly Father. He was tempted in all things, but he overcame. Now, brothers and sisters, he has given this overcoming life to each and every one of us who have believed in him. You know, sometimes when we first believe in the Lord Jesus, all that concerns us worse our past sins. They bother our conscience. But thank God, through the redemption of our Lord Jesus, we know our past sins had all been forgiven. And not only that, we have been given a new life, even the life of Christ in us. And for this reason, He calls every one of us to be an overcomer. He knows where you are. He knows your circumstances. He knows all the problems that surround you. But He knows His life in us is sufficient for everything. So the last call to the church is the call to overcome. Brothers and sisters, examine your own lives before the Lord. See if your life is an overcoming life or is a defeated life. If you live a defeated life, you have missed the power of God in Christ Jesus. Because the new life that He has given to you is an overcoming life. So every Christian is supposed to live an overcoming life instead of a defeated life. The Lord knows where you are. I believe He has put each and every one of us in where we are. We do not choose our parents. We do not choose the place where we will be. It is a sovereignty of God who has chosen us. He has given us a life that is His own overcoming life. And He wants every one of us to live where we are as an overcomer. You know, when I first believed in the Lord Jesus, my hope was He would take me as soon as possible. I thought at the time how good it would be is I will be the thief crucified with the Lord. And in His last days, He turned to the Lord and said, "Remember me in paradise." And the Lord said, "You will be with me in paradise." I often had that kind of thought when I first believed in the Lord Jesus. I don't see the wisdom of God in allowing me to live after I was saved. I fully expect Him to take me as soon as I believe. I think that will be the best of life. Now I wonder if any one of you have ever had such a wretched thought. But the Lord knows better. Do you sometimes doubt God's love for you because He leaves you upon this dirty world? Do you sometimes blame your circumstances, your environment? You think if you have a better circumstances, you will be a better person. But you don't know yourselves. If it's left to you, wherever God may have put you, you will be a failure in yourself. That's for sure. But thank God, He has put Christ in each and every one of us. And He is sure you will be an overcomer in your environment. So you'll find in the seven letters to the seven churches. Now we know that of the 12 original apostles, all have died except John. In his old age, he was working in Asia, that is Asia Minor, among these churches. He was a faithful servant of the Lord. But during the time of Domitian, he was exiled to the island of Patmos to work in the mines. For his faith in God and in the Lord Jesus. I do not know whether he was in the Lord's day, he was free from the work in the mine. And the old John, I will imagine he must be sitting on a rock facing the Aegean Sea, looking to the other side of the shore of Asia Minor, and remember the churches that he used to serve while he was there. I think this must be very natural to him. As he was musing upon the situation, he wondered what happened to the churches that he served before he was exiled. He heard a voice behind him. He looked back at the voice, and he saw what we call the Patmos vision. He saw seven golden lampstands. And in the midst of the seven golden lampstands stands a man like the Son of God. Now, brothers and sisters, this is the Patmos vision. as a matter of fact, there were more than seven churches in Asia Minor at that time. But God chose these seven churches because they not only represent all the conditions of the churches at the end of the first century, but they also represent the condition of the churches throughout the centuries. He saw seven churches. One of them, Philadelphia, was faithful to the Lord. One of them, Laodicea, had departed from the Lord. And the others varied in their spiritual condition. But whether it was a victorious church or a defeated church, the call is the same. The call to God's own is He who overcomes. So, brothers and sisters, we are not living at the beginning of the 21st century. If I'm not wrong, I sense that the Lord is coming soon. You remember before the Lord left his disciples, he told them, I go, but I'm coming. I'm coming to take you to myself. I go to prepare a place for you, and then I will come to take you to myself. When I am there, you will be. This is a promise of our beloved Lord. During the first century, the believers waited for the return of the Lord. But the Lord did not return, and they died. And the following centuries, Christians had been waiting for the coming of the Lord. They had all taken their lamps, went out to meet the bride. But because the Lord delayed, they all fell asleep. But brothers and sisters, we who are in the beginning of the 21st century, do you think it is but right for us to think that the coming of the Lord is very close? I do not expect to die. I expect to see the return of my Lord, if he will grant me. But I think it is right for us to think that his coming, his return, is nearer to us today than it was 20 centuries before. I think it is right for us to think that way. I have a kind of funny feeling. I feel if the Lord should come now, my hope is this auditorium will be emptied. None will be left behind. Now that will be glorious. But brothers and sisters, whether we will be taken or be left behind, it depends upon our spiritual condition. Are you ready for the Lord's return? If he should come now, do you have the assurance within you that he will take you? Or you will be left behind? Is there anything in the world that still captures you? Do you, as the best servant, hoping that the Lord would delay his return and begin to eat and drink and be his fellow servants? But unexpectedly, the Lord returned. And the Bible said he will be cut into two, and there will be gnashing of teeth in darkness. In Matthew chapter 24, we are told, as the days of Noah, so shall be the coming of the Lord. In the days of Noah, God revealed to Noah that he would destroy this earth and called him to build an ark. It was a huge ark. In other words, God's thought is to bring many out of destruction into life. But unfortunately, after 120 years of waiting, only Noah and his family of eight were preserved in that ark. The rest died. Brothers and sisters, the Lord said, as the days of Noah, so is the day of the coming of the Lord. Two women will be grinding in the morning. Two men will be working in the field. Two will be sleeping at night. Now it is not six, it is two. Because two is the number of witness. Brothers and sisters, these two represents those who will be living at the return of our Lord Jesus. Because the earth is round, in some place it is morning, in another place it is noon, In some other place, it is night. Two is the number of testimony. The two represents those who will be living at the coming of the Lord. What will happen to them? Outwardly, you do not see any difference. Two will be grinding. Two women will be grinding in the morning. Two men will be working in the field, and two even went to sleep. You know, some people think the Lord is coming. So what shall they do? They dare not go to sleep. Now, brothers and sisters, go to sleep at night. Don't worry. The Lord knows whether you are ready or not. Even if you are awake, if you are not ready, you will still be left behind. But if you are ready, rest at night, rest peacefully, the Lord knows whom to take. Suddenly, oh brothers and sisters, I hope we will have come in our lifetime. It is very possible. Suddenly, some Christians disappear. But unfortunately, there will be real Christians, believers, who will be left behind because they are not ready for the Lord. Brothers and sisters, may I ask this question of you? If the Lord should come now, are you ready? I do not mean that you are so self-confident that you think you're always ready. I mean truly. Are you really ready before the Lord? Have you obeyed Him in all things? Great and small things. Do you live a life with Him? Are you praying and waiting for Him? Or are you occupied totally with the world? You think you are still young. There is still time. When you get old as I am, you will wake up. But brothers and sisters, may I warn you, the Lord is coming. We are sitting here peacefully this morning. But who knows whether this afternoon there will be a sudden change. The Lord has come. Hopefully, brothers and sisters, all of us here will be taken. So in the afternoon, this auditorium will be empty. Praise God if that happened. So, brothers and sisters, we are on the verge of the coming of the Lord. May we be ready every moment. I know a couple, friend of mine, because they thought the Lord is going to come soon. So they left their business. They went with a group to a far country place, waiting for the return of the Lord. But the Lord did not return. And they had to live. So this couple that I knew, they had to go back to the city and work in order to support the work. You do not need to change your profession now. You just need to live for Christ. If the Lord calls you to a certain profession, do it as unto the Lord. And when the Lord shall return, you will be taken. So, dear brothers and sisters, I always think we are living in a very thrilling time. The Lord may come at any moment. Isn't that thrilling? But where will you be if He should return suddenly? So the Bible tells us He is calling for overcomers. Our Lord has come into this world and overcome. And now He gives this overcoming life to every one of us, that we too may live on this earth overcoming. Overcoming sin, overcoming death, overcoming Satan, overcoming the world, overcoming ourselves. That's what the Lord expects of every one of us. So if you read through the book of Revelation, you will find in the second and the third chapters, the call to overcome. Then when you come to the seventh chapter, the second part, you find there will be countless persons wearing white robes, wearing the palm trees. They sing a new song that no one can learn except those who have went through their lives. These are the overcomers of the ages. Throughout the ages, God has called His overcomers out of this world, and thank God, in spite of there being minority, there will be countless number. Then when you come to chapter 12, you find the woman with child. She was to give birth a man child. Satan was not interested in the woman, but he was interested in the man child, because he knew the so-called church has already fallen into his hand. But out of the church, there will be the man child, the overcomers, and they will be his end. So there you find he's waiting to swallow that man child. But when the man child was born, he was immediately taken up to the third heaven. Now, brothers and sisters, where is Satan today? His headquarters is in the air around us. But this man child has overcome. He has thrust through the headquarters of Satan and got into the throne. This man child represents the overcomers at the last age. Hopefully, we may be among the rank. Satan today is not interested in the so-called church today, as an organization. Satan is interested in the overcomers of the church. Wherever there are overcomers, that's where his attention will be. But fear not. When the man child was born, he was immediately taken up to the third heaven. In other words, when the overcomers have come to his number, God will take them to the third heaven to be the welcoming party to the return of the Lord. Brothers and sisters, is it thrilling? Is it wonderful that we are not living in the first or second century? We are living at this beginning of the 21st century, because we have this opportunity. We sit here comfortably this morning. But have you ever thought that probably in the afternoon, hopefully, this auditorium will be emptied. But unfortunately, probably, there will still be some left behind. And those who will be left behind, what the Bible says, the world will come, cut them into two, and they will be weeping and gnashing of teeth in the darkness. In other words, regret to the uttermost. Brothers and sisters, let me warn you this morning. The Lord may come at any moment in our life. Ready for Him. Do deal with every situation in your life that does not please you. Learn to live a life absolutely in obedience to Him. Then don't worry, because when He shall return, you will be taken. Unfortunately, some will be left behind. But brothers and sisters, even so, God is gracious. Because as you read the Bible, even in the 3 years of great tribulation, out of the great tribulation, some defeated Christians will become overcomers. And they will be on the throne with Christ. So God's purpose for every brother and sister is that we overcome. In Romans chapter 8, we are told, whom God has called, He has saved. Whom He has saved, He has purified. Whom He has purified, He has sanctified. Because He wants every one of us to take up the statue of Christ. This is the purpose of God for you. So, dear brothers and sisters, thank God. He has not yet come. It gives every one of us a great opportunity to be ready. My prayer before the Lord is that when He shall come, brothers and sisters, this auditorium will be empty. Thank God if that is the case. So let these few words encourage you, prepare you. No matter how difficult your present situation may be, learn to be faithful to the Lord. Cooperate with the indwelt Holy Spirit who is leading you in this way of holiness, that we all may see Him face to face at His return. So may the Lord bless every one of you. Shall we pray? Dear Lord, we want to thank You for saving us. But we thank You that You want to save us to the uttermost. Enable us to really give ourselves so totally over to You, allowing Your Spirit to work out Your full salvation in each and every one of our lives. When Thou shalt return, Lord, that it will please You to take every one of us to You and make this room empty for the glory of God. We ask in Thy precious name. Amen.